It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
What's shaking, Red Nation? This is Jeremy Brenner with another episode of the Kiss of Death podcast, home of all things Houston Rockets at the Fan First Sports Network. And tonight we are discussing the draftermath, as I like to call it. The aftermath of the draft, the Rockets walk away with two prospects, Amen Thompson, Cam Whitmore. Welcome to Houston. Definitely did not see this outcome coming, but this is the reality, Rockets fans, and it's a good reality to be in. The Rockets have picked up a pair of top recruits from this draft class, and the debate before the draft, and we talked about it a little bit earlier in draft week, was Amen Thompson or Cam Whitmore. The Rockets get to have their cake and eat it too in this case. Two top prospects from the class of 2023, and both of them are in Houston. We'll start off with Amen Thompson, and then we'll go to Cam Whitmore, and we'll kind of talk a little bit about what this means for the Rockets moving forward. So as I predicted on the last show I was on Wednesday, we had Amen Thompson number four. And, you know, last year we had a bit of a surprise with Paolo going number one instead of number three. This year it was pretty streamlined at the beginning of the draft. Granted, you know, there was some controversy at number two and number three, but number four, it felt really clear that Amen Thompson was going to be the pick, and alas, he was. So Amen Thompson, welcome to Houston. I really think this is a great get for the Rockets. He is someone that can be the point guard of the future. They could go in a direction where they feel he is the point guard that can play for them. Granted, the shooting woes are the thing that is troublesome when it comes to Amen Thompson. That being said, that's really my only true knock on him. Granted, look, he is, you don't want your point guard not to be able to shoot. However, we have hope that that will change. Amen Thompson, this dude's a gym rat. He is someone that is constantly in the gym. He loves basketball. I think I read a report that said he loves basketball too much, which can't be a bad thing. This guy eats, sleeps, breathes basketball. And there's a reason why the Rockets made him the number four pick in the draft. As to how he's going to fit, it's still a little bit of a question mark, right? Because we really don't know what's going to go on in free agency. Free agency is going to dictate a lot of what this first year looks like. And the Rockets are right now in a position where they're kind of in a bit of a crossroads, right? You know, you have Amen Thompson, you want him to get these minutes. You want him to be able to develop into who he possibly can become, but you also want to win. So, and those two aren't exactly synonymous at this point. Amen Thompson could be the best Rockets player in 5 years from now, but the Rockets are trying to get better this year. So Houston is going to have to figure out some kind of happy medium, some kind of balance. How do we develop Amen Thompson into becoming the guy in Houston, your lead guard next to Jalen Green, while also trying to win basketball games. And it's going to be difficult to do that this year because Amen's a 19-year-old point guard who hasn't played in any competition that is really notable. I mean, he played in the Overtime Elite League, and there's still a lot of question marks that surround that. But the player, the prospect, doesn't lie, right? He's 6'7", 6'8", really athletic, uber athletic. It matches a lot of who the Rockets have taken in the past couple of years in terms of just pure athleticism and ability to run the floor. On top of that, you know, he's the good size in order to be a defender, someone that can defend multiple positions. That's someone that you want, someone that's 6'7", 6'8", you know, has a long wingspan, can guard some wings if needed, can also guard some lead guards as well. And that is a plus. That is a massive plus. His size is a big reason why he is where he is in the draft. If he was like 6'3", 6'4", you're looking at a guy that might be a late first round pick, maybe even an early second round pick. I really do believe that his size is a big reason why he's seen so highly in this draft. And his passing abilities are the best part about his game, right? He's a true pass first point guard. And when you have a guy like Jalen Green, who is a super shooter, and Jabari Smith, who, you know, we need to try to develop him into this 3-and-D kind of guy. Amen Thompson is a guy that can set those guys up to get more open shots, to just get a better look. And that's something that the Rockets have lacked in the last year or two that hopefully could change with Amen Thompson leading point. And as for whether or not this is going to affect free agency, I'm not too sure. You know, it really ultimately depends on the direction the Rockets want to go in. Do the Rockets want to develop these young guys, play them more, even if they may lose? Or do they bank on the fact that this team could benefit from a different system, which they're getting with Ime Udoka versus Steven Silas? We're going to find out this offseason how much the front office really believes in this core. And I think they believe in them pretty wholeheartedly. You know, they haven't really proven that they don't, but they really haven't had a chance to prove that yet. The Rockets are, you know, linked with almost every top free agent because they have, I want to say, like $60 million in cap space. So the Rockets have money to spend, which is why they're connected to all these people. It's going to be a question as to whether they trust the roster currently or they trust the outside. And everything to me has suggested that they're going to add at least three guys that could be significant rotation pieces. And that's really difficult because if you're going to add, let's say, three veterans, you're also going to have Jalen Sengun, Tari and Bari, and then Amen Thompson and Cam Whitmore. That's nine guys already. We haven't even brought up Kevin Porter Jr. or KJ Martin or Jayshon Tate. That's 12 guys, and 12 guys are not going to play every night. So it's going to be a real roster crunch, but in some ways it's a good thing because it forces these players to earn their minutes, earn their spot in the rotation, and competition's coming in. And I think iron sharpens iron in the NBA. And I think these young players are really going to benefit from playing with a couple of different veterans and just a different mindset versus what we've seen in the last couple of years in this total teardown of a team. You know, this team, they've torn it down, but they're building it back up. They're building it back up with these young prospects, Amen Thompson and Cam Whitmore included in that group. And it's going to be really fun to see how it all shakes out. But moving on to Cam Whitmore now, the number 20 pick in the draft, Cam Whitmore, he was supposed to be mock drafts pegged him as high as number four, which is crazy considering the Rockets had the number four pick and they were also able to get him with Amen Thompson. But this slide is a bit of a concern. I would say I'd be like Rockets fan, like everyone in the NBA, like, there's a reason why he dropped. Like, it's not like just willy-nilly that all of these teams just happen to pass up on this guy, right? But this was the reality. Like, Cam Whitmore is a risk. And he's a risk not because of this injury that I think was like brought up. Look, his ceiling is really high. His ceiling is, in my opinion, high-end starter for a really good championship team. He's like he could be, and his athleticism is insane. I think I read somewhere that someone compared his athleticism to Anthony Edwards, which that's a huge, huge, huge compliment. So if we can get like an Anthony Edwards type athlete, and if the scoring can figure out a way to get to that same level of eliteness, Rockets got a huge steal. Huge steal at number 20, if that is the case with Cam Whitmore. That being said, that's a really high bar to achieve. Anthony Edwards is an all-star within year three, and I don't think that's necessarily going to be what Cam Whitmore is, especially considering the fact that Cam Whitmore also has to compete against a bunch of young, up-and-coming players in his own team. So that's going to be a bit of a tricky obstacle for him to overcome. Now, Cam Whitmore...
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
He is really like... He isn't much of a creator. He didn't do a whole lot of that at Villanova last year. You know, he was the fourth leading scorer on his team, but everyone ahead of him on the scoring list at Villanova this past season was a senior or a fifth-year senior or a sixth-year senior, I believe. So the fact that he was getting all these touches as a freshman for a team like Villanova that isn't really a one-and-done type of school, like, Cam Whitmore is an exception to the rule. Like, Villanova, they bring their guys in, they're there for a couple of years, and then they go to the league if they're good enough. But Cam Whitmore is an exception, and it's because he's a really good player, and he can be in the NBA right now. The question is that concerns me is how much did the Rockets take Cam Whitmore because he was the best player available, or because they really think that he can be a guy for them? Now, I brought up this concern with Cam Whitmore in our pre-draft week, where I was concerned with, you know, like Mike would challenge me and be like, you know, if you're going to draft Cam Whitmore number 4, are you really going to have him come off the bench? And it's like, well, you got KJ, you got Tari. I would start KJ over Cam Whitmore, and I'd probably start Tari over Cam Whitmore too. I would love to see a lineup where Tari and Jabari start. And I don't know if Cam Whitmore affects that negatively, positively. I'm not too sure. And you also are likely going to add some veteran wing that will challenge for playing time. So you're looking at Cam Whitmore to be the third or fourth small forward in this hierarchy. And you're going to bring in a veteran, it all depends on which veterans they bring in, right? It really, really does. But we don't know that answer yet. But what we do know is the amount of potential that Cam Whitmore has. Incredibly high ceiling. And look, the Rockets should have taken him. Like, there was absolutely no reason for the Rockets not to take him. They really liked him in his pre-draft workout. They didn't choose him because Amen Thompson was their best player available. And rightfully so. I believe Amen Thompson is a better prospect than Cam Whitmore. The problem with Cam Whitmore that we need to see more of is he can't just be this like spot up guy. Like, he's got to, like, there's got to be some more there. And how much of his game is reliant on just sheer athleticism? You know, like, we've seen some reports where they say that that Cam Whitmore didn't have a good workout, that he didn't necessarily impress them in terms of basketball IQ. And that is a legitimate issue if that is for real. A lot of people are saying their concerns were health related. I personally don't think so. He missed, I think, the first 7 games of the season this past year with a thumb injury. And most people, when they flag medicals, it's more below the waist. Like it's a foot problem or a knee problem, maybe even a hip problem. But thumb injuries, you know, they're usually like, they pick him up pretty quickly. And like after his thumb injury in the early part of this season, you know, he played the rest of the way. So I really don't think that a thumb injury from 8 months ago is really going to affect this slide. I really think the reason why he kept sliding is because there was like in the top 10, like players like Bilal Coulibaly, like, you know, high right, like those players that just rose really quickly, you know, he was able to kind of jump in, and that could have been a spot where Washington would take him at number 7, number 8, and they ultimately passed on him to take Coulibaly. You look at Taylor Hendricks, like someone that has a little more size on him. Jet Howard, a slightly better shooter. Grady Dick, a better shooter. Jordan Hawkins, a better shooter. You know, like all of these guys that went ahead of Cam Whitmore, it's because they have a little bit more to their game that can be built upon, right? I feel like with Cam Whitmore, he's a great athlete, and he should have been higher because his potential is among the top 5 or 6 prospects here. Like his ceiling is all-star. Like if everything goes right for Cam Whitmore, that's an all-star. But I don't know if Houston is necessarily the best place for him. Like he's not going to necessarily get immediate playing time. And that to me is a concern. But granted, look, if Cam Whitmore is the best player on the Rockets, he's going to play. And that's what's the good thing about the Rockets right now is there is a lot of competition. There's a lot of competition at the wing spot. And someone is going to be good enough to really take this role and be able to run with it, right? They have too many of these guys now to where, like, there's no way they all strike out. There's no way all of these players are not going to make something happen. And that was the whole plan all along. Let's get as many draft picks as possible. And the talent in these drafts, especially in this draft, is just too high that we're going to get someone good. And look, the Rockets have gotten, you look at their core, like you look at the core, it's Jalen and Şengün. That's your alpha class, if you will. Your beta class with Jabari and Tari. And then your gamma class, which is this year. That's 6 guys that you could legitimately say that's your core. And then, like that's going to work. Like, they're out of those 6 guys, I'd be shocked if at least 4 of them were not second contract guys with the Rockets. Like, they will be. And Jalen and Şengün are already proving that. I think Jabari and Tari with good years this year can also prove themselves to be part of that. And then you look at Cam and Amen Thompson, also really high ceilings for both of them. And that's what you want in a rebuild, is you want as many guys as possible to bring it. But here's my biggest issue, is the Rockets are kind of stuck. And we're going to learn a lot more about the Rockets in these next 2 weeks. This free agency period is going to tell us a lot about where the Rockets are. Because if the Rockets go out and get these veterans to just bury these guys in the depth chart, then, you know, is that really the best route for the Rockets? And that's a valid question. Like, that is a valid, valid question. Because I've seen a slight change in the discourse on social media, where it's like, okay, well, the Rockets want to win, right? And in order to win, you got to improve the players that are on the roster. And while these players might be taking individual strides, it's hard to tell if the team as a whole is going to do that. So in order to ensure that the team is going to get better, get different players. If you do the same players, get the same results. And I truly believe that without any like major free agent signings, this Rockets team is bound for the lottery once again, probably in the top five or six. And that is not where the Rockets are hoping to be this year. I still believe the plan is let's bring in some veterans. And look, hey, they might be getting like some very short-term like contracts, like 2 years max, maybe even some 1+1 kind of deals, because this year is uniquely different because of how the Rockets don't own their pick. Oklahoma City gets the pick unless it's 1, 2, 3, or 4. And that has put a huge wrench in everything, because it almost is forcing the Rockets to accelerate this rebuild and like take away from this organic part of it, right? Like, because if this wasn't like part of the equation, I think the Rockets would be okay with letting these guys run it out. Because look, hey, if these guys run it out, they're going to get better, but they're not going to be good enough to get a high enough pick. They'll get another good pick again. They'll pick high in the lottery again next year. And even if they don't have their pick, they'll have Brooklyn's, which, you know, should also be a decent, it should be a lottery pick. But the thing is, the Rockets, it doesn't even matter what the Rockets do. Like, they'll have the Nets pick, and whatever happens with the Nets pick happens with the Nets pick. The Nets pick could be number one. We have no idea. But this is where things start to get a little dicey. And we knew this. We knew that this was coming. So, like, 3 years of Rockets just, you know, saw, like, just being bad, tanking, if you will. Now is the time to start flipping the page. But is that really what's best for the Rockets long term? Go out, get some guys that can help you win this year, but it hurts the development of some of these guys being unable to get as many reps as possible. And this isn't like denying reps for, you know, Ty Ty and Garuba and Josh Christopher. Like, that is like, look, they have promise and they have talent, and I do believe in a different situation they might have played a little bit better. And if they were to be given another opportunity in the NBA, they might be able to salvage their careers. However, this is the number four pick in the draft, Amen Thompson. This is Cam Whitmore, who also could have been the number four pick in the draft. So, like, this isn't like late 20s and all of that. Like, these are guys that could be stars for you if you know, hit those right buttons. But are you going to sacrifice that so you can win this year? That's a question that Rafael Stone is going to have to answer in the next couple of days when free agency hits. Free agency starts on Friday. We're going to try to do a show then. I'm really looking forward to it. Mike and I, some combination, will also have like a free agency like preview show. You know, like, to kind of talk about it a little bit, you know, the Rockets have the most cap space in the league. They have opportunity to go and get so many different guys. They're linked. I think Jonathan Fagan wrote out a list of, you know, potential free agents that the Rockets are linked to. I will kind of go through this list, a little bit, you know, just to kind of get us prepared, maybe some rapid fire stuff. And then on our next episode, we will go into it a little bit more in detail. We wanted to talk more about the draft tonight, and then next week, or in the next episode, talk more about free agency as we go into free agency. Then on Friday, 5 p.m. Central is when free agency kicks off and things just start going. So we want to go live for that. We haven't totally solidified those plans yet, but we will be going live at some point during next weekend so that we can discuss free agency. But here, Chris Middleton, money, definitely. Fit, not too sure. That's going to hurt KJ. It's going to hurt Cam. It's going to hurt Tari. Brooke Lopez, interesting fit. I know he's getting a lot of attention, but he's 35, and Şengün is there. So are you just going to tell Brooke Lopez, hey, you're going to come be a backup for Şengün? No, like, I just don't know how much I really believe in that. Or if it's even the right thing for the Rockets. Fred VanVleet is an interesting one, point guard, but do you want to sacrifice potentially, you know, putting Amen Thompson on the bench to start his career? I don't know. I really don't know. Bruce Brown, That's my favorite. He can come off the bench. He can start. And he's just a dog. Like, he proved it. That's why he won with Denver last the past year. He's been on some really good teams. Would be great for the Rockets, in my opinion. Cam Johnson, I just feel like he is too similar to a lot of the guys that are currently on the roster. I think it'd be counterproductive for some of the guys if he were here. Austin Reeves, I like Austin Reeves. I just don't know if I like him for the Rockets. And he's gonna cost a lot of money. And I don't know if that's exactly where you want to be spending your money. It's $100 million contract for Austin Reeves if you really want to bring him in. I just don't know if he's worth that much money. Dylan Brooks is an interesting one. Good defense. If you ask me Dylan Brooks or Cam Whitmore, I'd rather have Cam Whitmore. And that would mean I'd also want Tari Eason. I'd rather have KJ as well. So I'd pass on Dylan Brooks. Rui Hachimura is interesting. I think the Lakers will match anything that that comes their way. But he would be an interesting player to add. I don't see why he'd come to the Rockets. I just don't see it. Dante DiVincenzo is also an interesting one. He kind of fills that backup two role, which the Rockets do need. I think having like a backup shooting guard is something that needs to be targeted in free agency. I feel like Bruce Brown fills that role probably the best. But also having a guy like DiVincenzo, not a horrible plan B. And then Jakob Poeltl, again, like a worse version of Brook Lopez, not as good defensively, and he's going to probably want more money. And I'd rather have Şengün over, honestly, both of those guys. I like Brook Lopez, don't get me wrong. Because he fills the one thing the Rockets need most, which is defense in the front court. And I think he could do a lot for Alperen Şengün. And I think that's why the Rockets are super, they're linked to him really strongly. That being said, Jakob Poeltl's not coming here to back up Şengün. Like, it's just not. Like, Dallas is an interesting, like, teams that need centers. Like, Dallas makes a lot of sense for Jakob Poeltl. There's, of course, more, but, like, Dallas is one that's, like, super on my mind, is a team that needs a center. The Knicks are another team that could use a center as well. So those are probably better. Like, the Rockets, the thing about the Rockets is they can be interested in anybody because they have the money for it. And that's what's so interesting about the Rockets hold a lot of cards in free agency. They really do, because a lot of, like, I think the Harden domino is a big one. If the Rockets are interested in Harden, I also think Harden, you should bring in Harden if he wants to come here, even over Amen Thompson. I think that, James Harden, he knows what the situation is in Houston. He knows he's not coming here to, be what he was before 2.0. That's just not what he's coming in for. But if he knows that, and he will, I don't see why not. I just don't see why not. He elevates the roster and the ceiling way higher than any of those guys that I've just mentioned. He guarantees that you will have a shot at the play-in. I truly believe it. And look, the Rockets may not make the play-in with James Harden. And if they don't, they're going to be the laughingstock of the league again. But their chances will be there for sure. And you can't say that about any of those guys on that list that I just mentioned over Harden. But we'll talk a little bit more about that on the next episode. This is a good place to park the rocket ship for now. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this episode of the Kiss of Death podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at RocketsFFSN. And that's our name because we are the home of all things Houston Rockets for FFSN, the Fan First Sports Network. If you'd like to follow me personally, you can do so at Jeremy Brenner. That's JEREMYBRENER. We'll be back later this week for another free agency preview, talking all things free agency ahead of the June 30th, 5 p.m. start time for free agency. That's when deals start flying. It's when Shams and Woj are tweeting like there's no tomorrow. And it's going to be glorious, 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 glorious. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this episode of the Kiss of Death podcast. And until next time, go Rockets.